The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant, right here, being able to have good conversations. Let me tell you something, man. Today is Monday, and I had everything set up for you today, right? So before we go through the pleasantries, before we go through all the things that's actually set up for this week, I want to thank the persons that continue to be able to support the show and sponsor the show. And more specifically, I want to be able to read something to you. Like I said to you, you know, at the inception of the show, I really want to thank the persons who kind of followed me over the years. You know, people who were getting into business, people who were sort of preparing themselves to kind of do something. They said, Howard, as soon as I get on my feet, I can come check you out. And, you know, people normally say those things, right? You know, people normally say, like, you know, I come to check you out. I'm going to do this and do that. And you don't see them. But I want to commend those persons who've made commitments and really showed up. Devanya's has done that. And they've been doing a wonderful job with us in terms of their commitment, their long-term commitment with us. And I want to thank Devanya's for that. I also want to thank Butler's Funerarium for their commitment over the years and being able to support me in those particular areas. And today I want to be able to identify a good friend of mine who has a wonderful business here in the city. And I want to kind of read something to you. Mobile Garage Fleet Solutions is an all-in-one fleet management software enabling fleet owners to save more than 20% on their fleet operational costs. Total features include electronic maintenance, scheduling, artificial intelligence, dash cam for smart video safety, GPS devices, and so much more. Starting as low as $5 per month per vehicle per month, visit mobilegaragefleets.com or give them a call at 422-4575. That's 422-4575 to schedule a free trial today. I want to be able to do that. And also, I want to get something out the way, most definitely. And not necessarily get it out the way as though it's a nag. You know, we had a great show on Friday. If you didn't have an opportunity to check it out, make sure that you go to Guardian.com, GuardianTalkRadio.com. You can pick up the information there and be able to see one of the shows playing live. Also, check me out on Facebook, the Foundation 242 Facebook. Right now, you can be able to see me live in studio. We had the whole thing kind of set up for you. Wanted to kind of do something dynamic today, right? I'm going to tell you a little bit more about, you know, what has transpired over, you know, the course of a few days since then. But I want to say to you, today's my mother's birthday. She's 60 years old on the 6th of February. And she's looking absolutely gorgeous. She had an opportunity to be able to spend the weekend with my brothers and I. My younger sister, she's off in college. So she was kind of depressed that she's not here. But my mother and her 9 grandchildren, we celebrated with her this weekend, had a little bit of rake and scrape, had our Anglican moment. Praise God. Amen. We go back to our sort of our roots. And we really had a great time this weekend just to be able to celebrate with her. It wasn't one of those expensive weekends. And plus, it rained for the entire weekend. We had a kind of beach day and everything set up to kind of between my home and my brother's home. We just did some breakfast. My wife cooked the breakfast. Absolutely, I'm a delicatessen. I tell you, the only time I get breakfast with this woman is when I tell her people coming over. She goes, oh, they're coming over? Let me just show off a little taste. So that's what she did. And stew fish sauce and some sausage and grits for the kids. It was just way too much. But it was a great time that we did, and we celebrated with her. And it's important that we do those things. I'm going to be honest with you. We didn't spend no more collectively over the past few days, no more than maybe about $250, $300. But those memories
in terms of being able to spend time together and being able to create new memories is very important. We keep talking about fortifying community. Now, a lot of persons have indifference with their families. A lot of persons would have some issues and some indifference, but I believe that as we go through life and these trials and tribulations present themselves, I believe it's important in the position that we can forgive, forget, and continue to be able to move forward with a breath that doesn't belong to us. We're in the land of the living. I think we should continue to be able to give praise and move forward with this kind of passion and tenacity and making some things happen. So I'm happy. I'm so very happy to do that. Guys, the lines are going to be open today. So if you want to be able to kind of join in with us, I'd like you to... somebody already texted me. Howard, 060. Play that, right? Well, I don't know how much it is to get you play four these days. I call it play four because it was cash three and play four when I was young. So I don't know if it changed up these days, but 0060, that's what the people say. I don't play numbers, but praise God. If you win something, send something this way for Grandma, for my mother. Let her enjoy her birthday. Guys, the lines today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Make sure to check me out on Facebook. This is what we're going to be doing going forward right here live in the studio. So if you're coming in to sit with Howard, you're definitely going to be able to be live in full effect and the whole Bahamas will be able to see you, anybody who's tuning into this thing. There's a lot of things I want to talk about today, but first I want to talk to you about something that I had set up. I set up for the past 2 weeks. You heard me talking about it. We spoke about the fact that Mother Pratt would be in the building, right? We spoke about this. We spoke about the fact that Mother Pratt would be here sitting with us and really being able to dive into conversations and get some stuff done because we wanted to know more about the inception. Let me see if I can do this. We wanted to learn more about the inception of how things started. We wanted to learn more about urban renewal more specifically. Now, we know that in 2002, the former Prime Minister Perry Christie... Okay, I got your text. We know that in 2002, the former Prime Minister Perry Christie would have started, kicked off urban renewal. And in 2012, we saw the thing of urban renewal 2.0. And so I wanted to get a sort of a concept of how this started, why this started, and where the intent was to go from there. This is one of this administration's, the PLP's babies. And so I wanted to learn more about it because we've seen the inner city be impoverished. And let's just be very clear. We talked about this. The foundation is designed strategically, especially in this year of Jubilee. This is the year that we celebrate our 50th anniversary. And as we move towards July, I wanted to have more conversations and sort of intensify it as we move towards this space. And not just these casual, well, tell us about yesterday. I didn't want to do that. I really didn't want to do that. I didn't want to just have this notoriety and sort of a pomp and pageantry conversation. I wanted to talk to each one of these players, these architects, the persons who were there from the inception and developing these particular concepts and sort of casting the vision for the country. I wanted to engage them in conversation. Where was your heart, your mind, the concept and idea when this was birthed? And the inception of this idea for urban renewal formation, was this just a campaign ploy? Was this just your desire to kind of get some things done? Or do you truly, or did you see something greater, grander, in terms of moving and developing the inner city? Mother Pratt was extremely excited. She called me. We spoke about 2 weeks ago. You remember we talked about this? We spoke about 2 weeks ago, right? And I said, Mother Pratt, I'd like to do this on Monday. She said, oh, Howard, I'd love to do this. But I feel a little under the weather. So I said, okay, Mother Pratt, let's say you what. I'll kick it off week after next. She said, okay, I should be in good spirits then. Now make sure, and this is what she said, the conversation between she and I. She said, now make sure you call Ruby Ann Darling. Ruby Ann Cooper Darling, I can't do nothing without a baby. I said, okay, Mother Pratt, I'll definitely do that, right? And she said, hold on, did you call Algie? So I said, no, my God, get him. I've been trying to get him. She said, baby, call Algin and Alan. He and I do this together. So I set up the whole show, right? Monday, it was today, was the day for Mother Pratt and Algin and Alan to really be able to get to the inception of the inner city conversation. Tomorrow, I'm praying, I got my fingers crossed, that we can be able to kind of continue with that conversation with Rubia and Cooper Darling. She and I had an extensive conversation. She went off. She's back now. And hopefully we can be able to dive into that. She told me that she had to take a quick trip and get back. And Wednesday was a collective conversation with Scrooge and my good cousin, Richard Cartwright. So I'm hoping that we can have those things on. But first thing in the papers today, now this ain't me rowing or nothing like that, right? I'm just saying. Let's just read it. It says, poll favors Pratt for Gigi. Mother Pratt called me first thing this morning. Listen, she called me last night. She was excited. She said, baby, I got algae. I said, okay, Mother Pratt, we can have a good show. She said, yes, right? First thing this morning, she calls me. She said, did you see the paper? I said, I didn't have the chance to see the paper. The power's off out here. I'm groggy first thing in the morning. My electricity and the water goes together. So now I have to go find a pump at a low-lying area so we can be able to get some water, right, at one of the faucets, right? And so I'm doing all of this, and it's raining as wet as damp. And so she's calling me, and then she's like, did you see the paper this morning? I said, no, Mother Pratt, I didn't have a chance to see the paper this morning. I'm just getting out. And she said, oh, my God, they got me in the paper this morning. So I said, is it our paper? So she said, yes. I said, oh, my God, I didn't see the paper this morning, right? Pick up the paper because it's still got some great nuggets in there. Always has great information. This is the Nassau Guardian. First thing in the paper, it says, shantytown up in flames, residents left homeless. I want to get into that. And the second thing that we see is poll favors Pratt for governor general. A majority of respondents in a poll conducted by Bahamian research firm Open Current seeking to capture the approval rating of possible governor general candidates said they would prefer former Deputy Prime Minister Cynthia Mother Pratt to become the next governor general of the Bahamas over several other prominent Bahamians whose names are listed on the survey. This is Jesus. Oh, Lord, they mash up all my stories. Why? Bishop is in California right now. Yesterday, he had an opportunity to be able to preach to the retirement service for his very good friend, Bishop Kenneth Almer. So he's in California right now, being able to do that. I don't know whether or not he's in transit coming back home. But he says to me, Howard, after we do a few things, I'm coming on your show. Okay, so we got Bishop locked in. Right. I'm trying my hardest to. I've made all significant telephone calls within the POP organization to get George Smith to really talk about this 50th anniversary, the inception of this idea, and really talk about whether or not there is redemption, revival, this kind of a concept after a generation, after what happened in 1984. So that was a conversation that was sort of lined up. We just had a conversation with Loftus Roker. Ruby Ann Darling, Cooper Darling's coming tomorrow, and Cynthia Mother Pratt was the whole lineup in the paper, mash up all the sort of stories to engage. But I understood what Mother Pratt was saying. She didn't want it to make it seem as though on a campaign trail, on a campaign mission. But we should know that better than that in our country. We should know better than that. You don't elect governor generals in this country. The prime minister makes a decision. He sort of makes a suggestion to the monarchy, and the monarchy identifies these particular persons and solidifies them based upon the suggestion or the recommendation from the prime minister. So this poll is, in my view, this poll was designed just to be able to have public fodder, right? This is only for a public conversation and discussion, a discourse. Now, it could exist in the ether, in the space of the internet, but the traditionals in our country, once you pulled it into the newspaper, that's the best. That's only when I got the telephone call. After it was given flesh, because essentially that's what this is. This is the information source of the traditional persons in this place, in the country. And so when you pull it into the newspaper, it gives it flesh into the newspaper. This poll could have been out there for 6 months. But as soon as it was pulled into the newspaper and it became flesh, I got the calls. So I'm hoping that we can be able to see this happen. The conversations about the inner city, because both Mother Pratt and Ruby Ann Cooper Darling are gems. I mean, absolute gems in terms of what they have to offer, in terms of what they've given, their spirit, their commitment to the inner city, and the ideas for reformation in this country. These are true gems, and I'd love to be able to sit with them. So we've rescheduled it for today. And we hope to revisit that really soon. And hopefully, you don't bombard Mother Pratt with this kind of an idea whether or not she believes that she can be the governor general of the country, right? I don't know. I'm looking at this paper. We've spoken with Loftus-Roker, right? I've not seen, I can be honest with you, I have not seen the open current poll. I haven't seen that with Loftus-Roker. And Loftus-Roker made very clear indication that he has no desire to be able to get any of this. We knew that, right? I don't know whether or not George Smith, in his particular capacity, has a desire to be able to ascend to that. But I know that he has been given sort of carriage over what's happening for the 50th anniversary for the country in those spaces. And my good, decent bishop, he has just retired. And so I know that he's open for the next step of his life. But he's made no mention about this kind of an idea of ascending to this position. This is just public fodder. This is just a public discourse with chitter chatter and kind of for something to kind of put flesh to. And I don't know whether or not this is so. So let's talk about it, guys. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. 422-4796. I see the stuff there. You can definitely be able to hit me up. So it says, but Howard, let's see. We can be able to read these particular things. Howard, your mommy shares a birthday with Bob Marley. Oh, really? I guess she got to stir it up. She got to see what I did there. Let's take a telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good morning, this is Howard Rack.
Good morning, my brother. What's happening?
Right here, and I thought I'd try and call you early, get in and get out so I could listen to the rest of them chronic callers.
Yeah, yeah. You're sparking a lot of people cuss me today. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, one thing I would like to beg you, my first point before I get disconnected, my first point is, you know, when these politicians come on the show, when they're in opposition, they can't wait to get on God in the lambast the government within power. And when they become in power, and then they come on the show, we got certain people like Fred Mitchell makes arrangements that when they come on the show, they're not answering, they're not taking any calls. They're not going to speak with nobody. They're just going to deal with the host of the show. Mm-hmm. And y'all make those arrangements with them, and then we can't call them and ask them questions.
No, you can't throw everybody in one bucket, Sparky.
He's famous for saying, if he's coming on your show, he's not taking any calls. Now,
he hasn't done that.
Public servant, you come in on a public radio, on a talk show, where they allow people to call in and ask questions of people that we have elected. But you choose to make an arrangement with the host that you're not taking any questions.
No,
I would like to know why.
Sparky, he has not done that when he sat with me previously. I said he has never done that when he sat with me previously. Now, I know these allegations exist. Some people would say that. But he has never done that when he sat with me on Rush Hour.
Okay, I'm just saying that in advance, before they come on and on your show, that I know most of us are waiting to ask them questions or even listen to them in the history and the going forward of our country. Remember, we are all mammals in the mammals field. We all have feelings. We all die from the same diseases, whether it be white, Chinese, or black. We all have allegiance to our country, but our first allegiance is self-survival is the first law of nature. It's me, my children, and then my heirs and successors. Now, what I want to know, you know, the last thing I want to make a comment with Ms. Howard in regards to the shanty town, the fire, and all that kind of thing. I am very sympathetic with people that go through dilemmas in their life. But now the first two questions.
I was waiting on the conjunction.
I heard they said that the Attorney General is arranging to destroy two shanty towns. They mentioned the number two. But it has been said by Brian McCartney and everything, when they went up in a helicopter, they identified 27 shanty towns. Why is only two going to be destroyed? And if those people went through that fire, first of all, if it was a shanty town, they were not supposed to be there in the first place. Mm. Hello?
I hear you. I hear Sparky.
I've also heard by a very prominent politician,
Sparky,
way back, and the politician said, if we know some of the families that own these properties where these shanty towns are, most of us would be very surprised that some of this land is owned by Bahamians collecting rent.
Sparky be in the Bahamas. The land should be owned by Bahamian. I gotta let you go, Sparky. The land.
But how come we can't hold none?
Well, we can get some, and you get yours. You get one little piece the other day. Praise God, you was waiting 20 years. You got it.
You should have checked the one that I bought. I should have paid for it.
Sparky, I can let you go, my brother. Okay. Thank you so much for the telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you all, man. Thank you so much. Please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. The lines are lit up. I want to have more conversations about the shanty town. I want to have a conversation about this concept and idea about who's favorite for governor general. And I don't know whether or not that should have been in, well, you know, I guess... We the people can have conversations about these things, but does it really come before us? Is that our business? I mean, come on, you know, is that one of the things that the prime minister would do? And is this designed strategically? Let's just be very clear about it, and then we can take a commercial break. I've had significant conversations with persons who have these particular setups, right? Now, I've never spoken to anybody from the Bahamian research firm Open Current, but other research firms designed to be able to get polling, I've had conversations with these people. And many of them are hired. Watch me. Hired by political organizations, by companies, to create this sort of an idea to get a feel of what's happening socially. You know who used to do that? The Punch. The Punch would create a story, salacious or otherwise, and kind of throw it in the paper and watch the current, the temperature, what's happening locally. Tell me the truth. Y'all tell me the truth. Don't pull no punches with me. The Punch would create a story or put wings to a story, put it in the newspaper, drop it on Thursday, right? And when you read the story, based upon the chatter that happens in the gates of the city, where the old fellas sit out, where all these people are, they take a general consensus. Do you remember the story about the concept that former Prime Minister Peg Ingram had a desire to get back into government? And then they created this sort of an idea to say that two trailers, 40-foot trailers, had all these T-shirts and everything in it. It's sort of social fodder. This is salacious stories. This is the smoke to things. And we would actually engage the fire. Let's talk about those things. Let me take this quick commercial break, guys, and be right back. This is 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant. Take this quick commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Divinia's Grilled Food and Products are now open in the Kenneth Plaza, Prince Charles Drive. Come, you must try the jerk chicken, jerk pork, and all their amazing grilled food. Grilled daily to perfection using all their amazing sauces made right here in the Bahamas. Divinia's, grilling good food for life. Call or WhatsApp Divinia's today at 817-4468.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go. because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, on this absolutely gorgeous Monday. I mean, after a crazy weekend, it rained the whole... My brother came from Grand Bahama, right? He come here. He said, let's go to the beach. I said, all right, I threw my grill in the back of the truck. We could go to the beach tomorrow. My wife calls me and she says, it's an 80% chance of rain tomorrow. I said, wow. I check my phone. The phone says, in Nassau, it's an 80% chance of rain tomorrow. So I dig deeper into the forecast, and it goes 80% from 7 a.m. till about 8 p.m. that night. So I'm looking at him, and I said, I think it's 80% chance of rain. I mean, this has been consistent, right? So he said, but when I checked the forecast, it wasn't an 80% chance. I said, sir, did you read the forecast when you was in Freeport? I said, because it rained all weekend. Sunday was gorgeous now. Sunday was absolutely gorgeous. But it rained all weekend. I hope you guys had a very good weekend. This is Howard Grant in your company today, really being able to chop these things down. And today, the lines are wide open. We can talk all manner of things, and, you know, I'm just waiting for you all to kind of cut on the conspiracy theories. Shanty Town up in flames. Cut on the conspiracy theories. After, this is how I would start the story. After you all start gum-bussing about what happened, I feel like we are in the twilight zone. I feel like this is repetitive, relentless deja vu. That every time we engage a particular thing, the weak-minded amongst us, and I can't say that. Let me just be in, I pull it back. I take it back, right? But every time we see these conversations intensify socially, there is a spark, both a proverbial spark and an actual spark, that we see things happen with the destruction of shanty towns. This is absolutely bananas to me. And the question I have is whether or not this is as a result of the atmosphere being charged with this kind of disdain, or whether or not this is just a happenstance. And it happens far too often to just be casual. Just to be a happenstance. I read the story today. Make sure you pick up your paper and check out the story. Let's see if you can read a little piece. Then I can come to your telephone calls. The lines are lit up. Please check us out, GuardianTalkRadio.com, or check me out, the Foundation 242 on Facebook. You can be able to see me in there live. And we're going to be pushing that going forward. Please give us a call, 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, or hit us up on the text line 422-4796. So I say, resting Tilin Dolly, 46, is sat silently on a pile of rubble yesterday and watched as the remnants of his home and several others in the Haitian shanty town off Fire Trail Road burn to ash. Dorling only had his wallet and a black straw bag left. He said everything else he owned, watch it now, watch the listing. He said that everything else he owned, his documents, that's the first thing, you got to put that on the paper. This is just for the purposes of records, my documents gone, but I straight, okay. His documents, some money, clothes, and other items were lost to the fire. And then he goes on to say, I ain't got no money now and don't know what I can do. This is what he said when he was asked if he had a place to sleep last night. He said the small shanty town of Bellot Road was made up of about 15 homes and roughly 50 residents, according to officials. The fire, which was reported around 10 a.m., ripped through the area, leaving a smoldering pile of ash, old rusted tin roofs, and other debris, including clothes, appliances, and gas tank. The area was abuzz with firefighters, curious neighbors, and despondent residents. Some children ran. See if we can read it. Pick it up on page A11. Ran through the streets, but others stood still and watched the dying fire burn. A thick cloud of smoke permeated the area, at times billowing into the crowd. Let's talk about this, guys. Tell me about this. Is this casual? Is this happenstance? Y'all have charged the conversation significantly. And I don't know. I watched some videos the other day with the Prime Minister walking into the House of Assembly and people yelling at him, right? Significantly. People yelling at him significantly. And you ain't my Prime Minister. You're the cussing and carousing. I'm watching it. And I'm asking myself, why do Bahamian people get so charged when it comes to this Haitian conversation, this illegal immigration, this irregular migrant conversation? Why? Why do you get so charged? Why is this the only thing? Listen, if we were to shovel up every single one, and I say this proverbially, if we were to sort of round up every single Haitian, right, those of illegal status in our country right now, and sort of ship them off, or, you know, confine them to a space where we can travail the island as usual, is that going to make a difference? Let's just be very clear. Leonard Sands, my very good friend, on Dwight's show the other day, in so many words, would have said that as a result of the construction industry, we see the ever-prevailing increase of illegal migrants or irregular migrants in our country. The construction industry continues to be able to pay them cash. However they're getting paid, they're getting paid on a consistent basis because we continue to feed this proverbial cancer. It's our fault. It's these careless men in these particular industries who only care about their productivity and production and give two rat tails about this country. They're not concerned about that. They're not concerned about what happens after that. They need to build this building as fast, as quick as possible, with the cheapest labor, so we can be able to retain a significant portion. Let's talk about it. The lines are wide open. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. Let's take this telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, Howard?
All is well, my brother. What's happening with you?
Hey, everything good. Hey, listen, I want to touch base on the border stalling in Inagua. You know, the defense force, you know, their attempts are lock off and patrolling the waters. And here's the problem I have with that. If you don't go by the defense force base, you probably got about four or five, maybe six boats parked up in the back there, sitting on drums for years and years and years. You know, you got boats sitting at Grand Bahama at Bradford Marine, sitting on dry dock for years. So my question is, how serious have governments been at protecting our borders, not just against illegal immigration, but against drug runners, gun runners, about, you know, protecting our borders as a whole? How serious have governments been when you got beat up the asset, but they're not maintaining the assets?
I don't believe, this is my personal opinion. I don't believe any administration had any level of seriousness as it relates to being able to rectify. Well, they have identified. I think it didn't take the administration or the government to identify this as an issue. Socially, everybody say this is an issue, right? But I don't think any government has been serious as it relates to this. Let me tell you why. I believe there is a web that runs through our society that connects this perceived productivity to illegal immigration. I believe that.
Well, I think it goes more, a little further than perception. I think in some cases that it can be proved that governments have links to these Haitian communities. Prime example, during the campaign, the prime minister got up on the campaign trail. Like, he's one of you. He was one of us. So what message did I send to the Haitian community?
Okay, now watch it. Also, the Free National Movement did the exact same thing. If you forget,
as a matter of fact, the Free National Movement and invite Sweet Mickey.
Okay.
So again, I'm not speaking about government. I'm speaking about governments.
Right. Collectively, they have these things. They have identified some. Except ever since the suffrage movement, we recognize the strength of bloc voting. Right. And each political organization understands this bloc voting. The FNM took on the task of being able to identify the Rasta community. Remember this? Rasta for FNM. You remember this? And they also did this sort of Haitian for FNM thing, right? That's our pop-out for the FNM. That was FNM. The PLP has done the exact same thing when our Prime Minister Brave Davis would have been able to go on the campaign trail and sort of acquiesce to them, in a sense, to these particular things. So when you're on the campaign trail and you solidify their existence, their space, their position, but when you get in office, you have a different tone. It's mixed message.
I'm sorry. There's no tone. It just baffles me that this government, after 1 year, over a year, you're just going to now try to make an attempt. They have the injunction lifted. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when the Haitian community started billing, when they shouldn't have been billing, didn't they violate the injunction?
Yes.
So it should have been okay for the government to go ahead and destroy. Yes. If you could bill against the injunction, the government should be able to destroy against the injunction, eh?
Yes. Yes.
So I just don't understand why this government, government have to have perception is a serious thing.
Yeah.
Make it appear that you're doing something. But if you're just sitting back, hey, we can't do nothing, these are our people, these are our brothers, keepers. I'm behemoth. Have no problem with the Haitian community. Most BMN problem is the problem with the illegal Haitian migrants, the community. You come into the country, you take a piece of land, they're on PI. You take that land, you develop that land, you live within that land. You don't contribute to the community, you don't contribute to the society. You go to our schools, you go to our hospitals, and you give nothing back. You just suck in. And that's the issue behemoth of with the Haitian illegal Haitian and problem. They're sucking and not giving nothing back. They're not paying no taxes. They're not paying no work permits. They're not giving nothing back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you, my brother, and I agree with you, your sentiments, and I think that is a great deal of the issues that we suffer from in this country. A lot of people feel like you should contribute. But beyond that, I believe that there is an indifference socially. And the indifference socially that exists is that Bahamians feel like second-class citizens in their own country. That's just what it is. Bahamians feel as though one of the prevailing conversations that I hear as a result of the piece that happened that we've seen come out of the media on Paradise Island, right? Well, Haitians on Paradise Island, I can't live on Paradise. That's just what I hear. Well, I can't live on Paradise. How do they get to do that, right? No one includes this concept and idea of money. You got to have money to live across there. People reject that idea entirely and automatically assume and kind of put this idea that there is an infringing. There is squatting. There's something afoot here. There's something going on. And so they run with that story. So I just want to talk about these things. I believe that this is a very difficult thing that we have. And I believe there's two sides. I don't believe that clearing the country of all illegal and irregular migrants is going to cause you to automatically feel, for the most part, encouraged to do work. Now, it may cause the industries, the construction industries and others, to be able to do something in terms of increase of pay and recognition to do these, to give you a day's labor, a day's pay, a significant day's pay in comparison to what you would have been able to give these illegal immigrants. But that's it. The one thing, and this is why I said, I believe that the administration, they share, both administration, PLP, FNM, that we've seen over the course of time, they share one thing in common. They're afraid to incorporate the technology. They refuse to incorporate the technology that can take care of this instantaneously. They refuse to do it. They refuse to identify the one thing that can change this. The only way that the construction workers can be able to get paid, if we only look at that element, the only way that is somebody get them cash. If you take that element by cash anymore, if you incorporate this, that everyone has to have a bank account in the country, and you put that sort of a firewall up, then you eliminate some things. You have to dry up the root of this love vine. They love the Bahamas. This is love vine that's sucking from the root, the sap of who we are. We can't produce anything if this love vine continues to be able to choke us. And this is adding to the lack of community and lack of concern and contribution. We can't do anything like this if you don't deal with this from the root. How do you deal with it from the root? Legislate. You ain't paying no construction workers cash. You're sending some people, mystery shoppers, on the construction site. You're sending some people as agents, double agents of sorts, to be able to identify these things. You're reporting on them. You're saying that you can lose their license. You're taking them. You're finding them. You're doing all these particular things. When you dry that up, instantaneously, you'll see a change in this country because they have no reason to be here no more. These people come in to look for opportunity. And if you give them these opportunity with no regard, then they will continue to come and invite all their friends, auntie, cousin, brother, and the like. Carly, you got 30 seconds to be able to get on this call before we go to a break. Carly, on with us live. Go ahead.
Mike.
This Jeff?
Yeah, this Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Radio Mike. Very like the previous caller had mentioned. You know, it is sad that it seems as if the law only applies to Bahamians, whereas the laws do not apply those who violate the law. Mm-hmm. It seems to be preferential treatment in this country. That is the perception on the ground. Mm-hmm. The thing is, if the preferential treatment is given to the diaspora that Bahamians have most angst against, then what about the other diasporas that's here who may be doing some of the same things? Are they also getting the same blight that this particular diaspora is getting from the Bahamas government? We talk about the injunction. Very quickly, yeah, the injunction. It's been a very long time, should have been addressed and actually closed. And what's going on right now is with this injunction, it simply means that, they got this matter all tied up in the courts, but the building still continues. So it simply means that there's a breach already with the injunction. Why hasn't the courts or the persons who represent the government gone back to the courts and actually got this injunction thrown out, saying that you already have persons still building, even though they're not supposed to be building these additional structures? There's a double standard here. Thanks for taking my call out.
Thank you, Jeff, man. I appreciate your telephone call. I do believe that there may be a double standard, but I believe that if you rectify the first thing, if you rectify the primary thing, then everything that falls secondary and otherwise will fall into line. I believe that. This is a prevailing issue that doesn't just exist here in Nassau. Nassau being the hub of the Bahamas in terms of economic activity and productivity here, right? Everyone wants to come into Nassau, both local and foreign, wants to come in to be able to take a little of what exists here in the city. When I first moved to Nassau, I walked off the plane 2012, it was unlike anything else because I knew that I came here for a time. I walk off the plane and I smell money. I said, Jesus, God, woo, we can make some money here. Excited. If that is the whiff that I get in the air of Hama, what are these foreigners smelling floating over the airs in the sea? What are these foreigners smelling amidst the salt water that they could dismiss? Let's talk about it. Let's take this quick commercial break, guys, for news and be right back on the foundation right here on 96.9 FM radio with Howard Graham. We're going to be right back after this.
The foundation.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today, 74 in Nassau, or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic, and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-02.
It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, The Foundation, with Howard Grant live and in full effect. The lines are wide open today on this beautiful Monday. Hope you caught a little cowboy today. I don't know how y'all did it this morning. Was your power off also? Was your power off, right? Because my power was off all the way out west, right? There was a little storm, and we woke up, and I said, I think this power is going to cut off. Sure enough, I lay there in my bed and listen to my fan. Everything cut off. Bop. I said, oh, Lord. And the power and everything is actually connected to the water. So my kids were super ecstatic. Oh, Daddy, I guess we have it, right? You're going to need to stop it, right? So we definitely be able to take care of that. And before we got to the house, the thing cut right back on. Boom. And this is just a lesson in preparation, man, just to have yourself prepared for these particular things. Well, today we're talking about a few things, and I want to kind of bring a few, one or two other stuff into the conversation. I got some major text here, and I wanted to read a few of these texts before we go to there. But, you know, the lines are open, like I said to you, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up, 422-4796. Let me see if I can read some of these things. It says, hello, Mr. Grant. Awesome show, always. You came out swinging from day one. I listened to all the time when Mr. McCartney was there, and you fit in perfectly. Would you be able to find out more information about Clico, please? I think this is the second time somebody actually said that to me about Clico. So we're going to look into that for you, but I appreciate your sentiments. Next text, Akima says, great show as usual, Howard. I was brave. I would knock down the houses in the shantytown. Okay, right. It says, if your mummy number four today, I can catch, I'll buy you, catch it. And if I catch it, I'll buy you a little tree piece, a KFC. Y'all need to stop it, right? So it says, and also one more thing, blame it on Lincoln again. So let's see if we can read another text. It says, but Howard Bishop Long has been, listen, maybe you don't know this but me, but I love the bishop, like cook food. This is my man of business, and I'm not going against the bishop. We can have very clear conversations, but these kind of salacious things I'm not going to be able to say about this man of God. I love the man. It's my guy, and I want to kind of be able to put that out there, okay? So it says, let's see if you can be able to read a few more things. This for Bishop for Governor. Howard, you have the top show in the city. I appreciate your sentiments. I thank you so very kindly for that. It says that Howard, the public show to be able to pick the governor general, because the big public money is issues to take care of the governor general's staff. Howard, tell Sparky those two shanty towns was put out after the injunction, so they are contrary to the court injunction, and the government must have proof. That's a text that actually came through. It says, do you know if Brave Davis's mystery caller was caught? And if it convenient that that call was made right after his popularity was declining? Y'all need to stop. This is heavy. Bohemian people wrapped like a mummy in a sarcophagus. Y'all need to stop it. Let's read the text again. It says, do you know if Brave Davis's mystery caller was caught? And if so, wasn't it convenient that the call was made right after his popularity is declining? I disbelieve that. Ali, play the thing for me. Guys, take two listens to this thing here, and then we can dive into a deeper conversation.
On multiple occasions, and of course, I didn't report it to my... After several expressions of wanting to kill me. And they said I needed to take it more serious, and then they subsequently reported to Commissioner of Police. But I'm sure every Prime Minister would have been threatened at some point in time. I've never seen any taken security. Certainly I have not. When I've been threatened, I still went about my merry way. I ran into Bantown to party, ran into Mason's to party, ran all over the place. Because I am of the view that when a prime can no longer feel safe among his own people, that's time to go. That's time to go. So I've always carried on with my normal life. But this prime minister is obviously threatened by the people. He brought out the entire police force almost. I mean, what is there to fear? What is there to fear? I do not condone violence, right? I do not support violence. I feel that prime ministers should be protected.
This is wild. What is happening in this country? The former prime minister is indicating that he's gotten threats to his life several times. But he don't take y'all serious. Y'all is bluff. That's what he's saying to me. Y'all jokers. Y'all is gum bust. That's what he's saying to me. Is that what you heard? That what I heard? My nigga never do nothing. I still go on to Bantown, tell him bring it on. Right? This what I hear. What you gonna do? I hear in Bantown, you ain't gonna do nothing. This is very callous and casual. What you talking about? Guys, the lines are wide open. Please be a part of the conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. Callie on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, brother?
All is well. What's happening with you?
All is well. Boy, listen, you heard it from the former prime minister. He was out partying. He loves to party.
This ain't a regular party. He comes to party so much
until he run this country to basically a muck. Howard, you cannot, listen, even... You know, beyond the prime minister, like my good cousin Clayton Fernandez, say the commissioner, you can't take threats lightly, bro. All right, I don't care. It's because of the prime minister. No one in this country should take threats lightly. And when the common man go to the police station, police need to start taking these things serious, because we know we live in a country where some people, Howard, love to follow fashion. You understand what I said? Mm-hmm. Love to follow fashion. But Howard, what I really want to say to you today, right? Yesterday I was called, because that's our area, Tall Pines, where that fire happened. All I want Bahamian people to do, for me, please, if you have God in your heart and you have love in your heart,
hold on. This sound like a page right out of a minister's book. Go ahead with it.
No. I ain't minister.
Do you have a heart?
Howard, no way, no how, no history.
Go on, let me hear the rest.
But anyway, what I'm saying to you, yesterday after the fire, you had, you know, people were posting things, right? And you had people in our country that I thought I had a little bit more of compassion and love in their heart for people. That's good for the people. They need to burn and all. Any of them get burned up? Ooh. Man, Howard, come on, man.
Ooh.
Yes, we have a legal problem. Yes, these people need to go home ASAP. But come on, Bahamian people, why do you have this barbaric attitude? Why are we living in a country where we can't treat people? Yes, they're here illegal. Yes, they got to go home, and they need to go home now. But still, at the end of the day, they're still human beings, Howard.
Mm.
You cut me, my blood red. I cut you, your blood red. We are humans.
Mm.
And you wonder why, Howard, I can say this to you, I can leave this with you. Why some people in the same Bahamas blessings don't flow? You see why some people blessings don't flow? Because they treat people badly.
My God.
They treat people badly, man, and that's not fair, man. And you know, yesterday, I was there. I did a video. I feel sorry for the people. But and at the end of the day, now listen to me. Immigration Department, I know you all are listening to this show. You all get your job easy. Because when those persons come to the immigration to say, well, they were saying to the skippers yesterday, they lost their documents. Okay, well, go to immigration. They should have that on record. So we can know who here from illegal, from who ain't illegal.
But that's only 50. We got much more to deal with. But thank you so much, my brother.
Thank you to Howard.
I appreciate your telephone call. Guys, give me a call, 323-622-325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up with the text line, 422-4796. Let's see if we can read another one. It says, he said, I remember when Minnis got threatened, the opposition at the time blasted him, right? It says, Mr. Grant, how come the religious leaders say nothing about the illegal Haitians and shanty towns? Is this because the Haitians bring them collection money? Didn't we have this conversation? That's not relegated only to this illegal conversation or immigration conversation. We've talked about this from a crime perspective. We've talked about this from the constituency that you exist in, whether that be Pinewood, whether that be Baintown, whether that be any of the inner city areas or even in the outskirts. We just watched somebody get gunned down last night. I think it was in Gambier. Am I correct? Is it Gambier? Somebody just got killed in Gambier. And we don't see enough of the religious leaders coming to the forefront. Is it because you didn't christen these people? Let's just be very clear about this. Let's talk about it. Is it because, or they don't go to my church? So their life has no, once it's not on the records of them being able to pay in this area, let's refute it. Let's talk about this. Because the only time that we've seen religious leaders, and as a good, decent man, is go to church every Sunday, twice sometimes. The only time that we've seen religious leaders come to the fore with this kind of tenacity, anger, and this unification to be able to pull down an entity is during the time, well, two times that I can remember in my short history here on earth, two times where we've seen that kind of tenacity and that vigor come to the forefront from our men and women of the cloth. It was during, most recently, when we've seen them take on their position against the no vote for numbers, for the number house, that was one. And when I was younger, there was a strong position from religious leaders not being able to say not to bring homosexuality. I think it was Rosie O'Donnell's boat. You remember? Am I correct? Rosie O'Donnell's boat that was coming. I was all the way in Grand Bahama, and I was watching these people stand up on the dock, fighting and screaming and so forth and so on. But these are the only two times that I see them. I mean, how is it triple-digit murders? And we just say, y'all make more noise about rated R movies. Talk to me. You make more noise about the fact that a certain age can be able to get into the movies, or this movie can't come into the country, as opposed to the death that is happening on the ground. Let's talk about it. Let's take a next telephone call. Calling on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Good to hear you back on the air.
It's good to hear you. You ain't called me since then. What's up?
I'm so happy for you. Pardon me?
What's happening? All is well?
My man had four deaths last year.
Four deaths?
Yeah, man. It was rough.
In your family?
My closest one, my brother, I lost him in December. I lost my very close aunt who grew up in the same house.
Oh, my God.
I'm a cousin, so it was rough. It was rough.
Oh, man. But, you know, my condolences to you.
Was in control, you know, so I was dipping in and out, but during the times that you were on, I was, you know, tired up, but I'm happy for you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate
you. And I
want
you for a long, long, long run. Take it up, blow. And I'll laugh you up.
Thank you, my dear.
You know, but, you know, this whole situation, you know, if you don't laugh, you'll cry, and sometimes you have to laugh before you go insane. I honestly, I'm very, very, very discouraged. I'm disappointed in the some of the response in reference to the death threats against the prime with the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's so callous and it's so cold, and it just shows you how where your heart is. You know, and sometimes you'll be saying, God fearing nation, we're a Christian nation, right? But it seems as if we are very, very selective as to where we how we share, you know, show our Christianity or our love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to let certain issues separate us. And we always say, because you have a lot of this immigration to do, and like I said, it's a hot topic and it needs to be discussed and it needs to be addressed, okay? But when it gets to the point where you're going to have, if you have the commissioner of police, right, hold an emergency press conference and announce that these threats were made against Mr. Davis, do you think he's doing that for it's a game?
Mm.
In all seriousness, is he going to do it? What can I do? All of these fellas, all of these are going on. All of these child abductions attempted, and all of these things are going on. All of this stealing that's going on by reason of employment. All of this is going on, the issues with the, even with the, you know, the immigration, all of this, right? I'm going to just call this press conference and announce that there are threats against the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. And it seems as if some persons are taking it this lightly, okay? And I think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Any person, put yourself in that position of power, you expect to get the criticism because you're not perfect and you're going to make mistakes. And I think it's a good thing when a government who is sitting in power, especially with the mass numbers that they have, to be able to be to receive criticism and verbal blows. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
And I heard a click.
Yeah, that's a big...
You know what I'm saying? Because it should keep them, because if you're thinking you're walking down Bay Street and you're naked, but you think you're all stylish, mm-hmm. you need people to let you know, hey, you're naked.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a completely different thing when you're going to go on Bay Street and you're going to scream out,
you ain't my prime minister.
Certain people assassinate, is the word that's used.
Jesus, I think this is so ignorant. In my mind, in my personal view, I believe that, and I appreciate your telephone call. I really do. I thank you so much. I want to hear more from you. Right, okay. But the lines are lit right up. So
yes, I'll call you back. But like I said, congratulations again.
Thank you, my dear. I do appreciate you, and thank you so much for those sentiments. Now, I believe this. Me now, I really believe that it's an ignorant thing, and I don't know. I mean, is that the type of people that we attracted? Is that the type of the broken people who don't have? Because people assess within themselves. They come to a conclusion. They come to this kind of internal assessment of where their issues come from. Men do this. As a man, I can tell you I do this all the time. Why I ain't doing this? Why this ain't happening for me? And so you take this kind of deep assessment. Where did I go wrong, right? And so you try to find the root of this issue, right? Whether that's with you or whether that's a place that you've been that you can kind of revisit to reform, change some things to get back to this success that you envision, that you hope for, that you desire. So through this assessment, I believe some men who've been conditioned to this idea that power and influence only exists externally, exists with the office of the prime minister, exists within members of parliament, exists within leadership in the country. I believe that some men who have the superficial understanding assesses their issue and looks at these offices and say, this is where the problem exists. Why threaten the prime minister? Why? It's baffling to me. Why? Do you not know there's only a handful of us here? Do you not know if you go down deep enough, you'd find there is significant relation? Do you not know the same trial and tribulation that the prime minister would have gone through or had to go through, all of them, to find success in his life, came from the community that was barren? All of us came from the exact same thing. Some people get proximity. Some people get favor. Some people get grace. Some people thief. Some people this. Some people that. But the fact of the matter, I believe, for the most part, many of us started at the same space. That was ground zero. And for you to take on a position, now with anger smoldering in your heart, with this kind of disdain, to be able to identify a target and spit that vitriol, is wild to me. You caused this assassination? It's treason, sir. You should be locked up for even trying to utter those things. Where is your mind? Please. And this is what me trying to, when we start to talk about sobriety in your approach, you're going to be sober-headed, sober-minded. Yes, you're fighting for sort of the liberation that you envision to be able to rectify some issues. But does that have to come with murder? Or any sort of bloodshed? Can we not deal with this according to the civility that we've been grooming and growing on over the years? I don't know. The lines are wide open, guys. We're going to take this commercial break. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. I got a lot of texts here. I got a lot of telephone calls here. Please check us out, Guardian Radio, Guardian Talk Radio, .com, or check me out, The Foundation 242 on Facebook. We're live and in full effect, really being able to dive into some things. You're going to see us expand on this space and kind of make some things happen. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
Ready to step into the future? From your front door to the backyard and everywhere in between. See and speak to whoever's there with Ring Video doorbells and security cameras now available at Alive. Protect what matters most, all from one easy app. Available in your Google or Apple Play Store. Visit bealive.com/ring to learn more. We are Alive.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 2. Guardian Radio. You got to forgive me. I'm reading these texts. The indecency is rich today, ladies and gentlemen, on this beautiful Monday. Thank you so very kindly for tuning in to 96.9 FM Radio. Check us out on the GuardianTalkRadio.com or the Foundation 242. We're here live and in full effect and being able to do this. Let's read a couple of things. It says, good afternoon. The former prime minister is extremely callous and not wise. Biden and Pelosi saw what threats can develop too, right? It says, Howard, Minnis is an idiot and liar. Now, please, these are texts, right? Let's just be decent about these things. He went to Parliament and talked about him being threatened. Liar. When will we start acting like leaders, right? You missed one of those things. I don't know. I can't even say that he's a liar. I don't know. I'm not privy to these things. And I won't say that the former prime minister is a liar in any sort of a stretch. I'm indifferent with some of the pronouncements. I'm indifferent with some of the positions, and we can be able to talk about those things from a logical standpoint and from the history of the rhythm of how government has been operated. But to call him a liar, I think I don't necessarily agree with that. Right? So let's just be very clear about that. It says, tell DeWitt that the former prime minister parties as much as the current prime minister travels. Woo, you all need to stop. Right? Just two years in, and the people are calling for the removal of Davis and this dark day government. Ooh, you need to stop it, right? It says it took ministers a hurricane and a pandemic to get to this point. This is powerful. I disagree with you on that. And this is only half the text. I read the next half. I disagree with you. It didn't take no hurricane. It didn't take no pandemic. 18 months in. Talk to me. Let's be clear. 18 months in, the general consensus is that he will not make it to May 2022. 18 months in. Talk to me. We out here in the streets every day, and we hear the general consensus. It says, Brave and the PLP politicized Dorian and the pandemic. They savaged Minnis daily despite pretending to support it. Only the Bahamas had a pandemic. Let's read another text and see exactly what it comes in. It says, great show as usual. Brave from Cat Island. They don't want Brave go. I'm not going to read the rest of this. You don't need to stop. Anyone living in the shanty town with so-called documents should be arrested and deported for breaking the law. Mercy, go to the jury. They are our enemy, and we are welcoming them with open arms like fools. All right, these are texts that's coming through. Howard, you have to give your callers a chance to talk, sir. You just do all the talking. I thought I was giving everybody a chance. You all and cuss me out for Sparky. Let's take a next call. All right, call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
Good afternoon, my brother. What's happening with you?
Yeah, you know, I'm all right for now, Howard. But, you know, I called to express myself and to bring consciousness to certain things. I don't believe in just talking for talking's sake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what it's all about. Now, some scrutiny here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, firstly, I'll make like two quick comments, kind of humorous. A Paradise Island is a misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
Because paradise to me would be a place to spend thousands of dollars for rent or to spend millions of dollars to build a house. That's not paradise for me. Paradise for me would mean something else. I wouldn't like to say it, whoever. But so, because most humans have this significant, this battle for significance or rather insignificance,
mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about a Haitian on Paradise Island, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm sensible to know that it's not Paradise Island.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm not that simple. And most of us have that problem, but there is a curse to politics.
Mm.
Now, but as far as the injunction, it has no function. Simple. Now, you know, I would hate to believe that the PM is really threatened, but for me, I would believe it. Like, let's say it was a government officer. They said something about a guy in the protest shouting about assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should have arrested that fool then if they had it.
Right away.
Yeah, so what? I thought they said it was a phone call, right?
No. Well, what happened, if you look back at the video, you could hear people screaming at him and just being, listen, the what I heard in the clip that I got, right? They was cussing at him as he was moving towards the House of Assembly. Cussing at him, and I thought this is unnecessary.
Yeah, but I mean, nothing wrong with, really, listen to me, once it's not a death threat. You see, you look at a free society in the United States, there was a demonstration against George Bush, how he lied about the Iraq War. There mm-hmm. was an effigy. Of mm-hmm. of him, and the people were slapping an effigy.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was arrested. But what I'm saying is, the people have the right to express themselves. So they could have been arrested for obscene language or whatever, et cetera, and just pay the consequences and go and pay the fine, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the thing is about power and politics, there's a curse to that. And so if it was a call, then I would hope that the government office would have the call recorded,
yes.
and then the person would have been apprehended, because
yes.
I'm not down with threatening the PM. I'm down with expressing myself and letting them know the level of consciousness here.
Yes.
And so, if it had been Minnis could have been threatened because the part of the model in which he created under the scamdemic. But for me, he put the straw in the hat with me because I knew the science and I knew he was lying to the public. What do you want me to say, Howard? What mm-hmm. do you want me to say?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's get on here. With society, right? With the shanty town. A behemoth would be naive to believe that we could get rid of all the Haitians. I'm not even looking for that paradigm. I wonder why we You can't make, oh, what you mean? You can kind of get rid of all of the Asians, but we know some of them are integrated. Mm-hmm. So let's get all of that out of our mind. We're dealing with numerology here. And so I'm wondering if national security is just have nothing to do with Mr. Monroe because he just came into existence in this paradigm. So what I'm saying is national security for me does not exist because, number one, let's talk, you know what a parallel society is, right, Mr. Grant?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, so why would you allow a parallel society to develop within your society and then with the numerology in relation to the number of people, and then you want to sit back and tell me about national security when you have no idea. You have all these entities, secret intelligence branch and all these. What are they doing? You know how many people in Nishan Litan, you know if they bring in guns or whatever they bring in.
No.
You know what their agenda is. What's going on? You allow people to come and sit in the bush.
At every inflection.
But then you, no, hold on. Let me speak. I mean, I got to go. You know, you might get cut. You might cut me not. You
go
allow
ahead.
People to come sit in the bush. And the Bahamian people will say, hush. And we paying the taxpayers. We doing everything. These people contribute when they go on the food stamp and to spend their little money to rob it. But you have to realize, I live in the inner city. Most of the people spend their money within their communities. I know it. I see this. They don't even go to a Bahamian store. They have to. I have Haitian Bahamian friends. I don't have no problem with spending money with them. But they don't think like us, in a sense, even as far as the miscegenation and all.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. So we're fooling ourselves, and we're playing around with this numbers game with these people. And the government is starting a flame that sooner or later they wouldn't be able to tame. With these same people from the South that they taken for a joke. Bless up.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. And I just want to say this. At every inflection, we've seen when the government did some sort of census, some sort of assessment, especially under the former administration when they sort of kind of, did the numbers in the shanty town. And we laughed when we saw it's 1,200 people living in it or something like that, right? And it was a joke. We knew it was thousands and thousands and thousands. And it was a joke to say that this is what we're going to do, and the expectation that these things would have been done with any level of transparency was a joke. It was a joke. And I believe that so much times that these things are done just to be able to appease and quell the flames of society. Sort of, all right, give them some meat, right? Let them know that the government is working towards these things, but nothing, nothing. Year after year, decade after decade, we see these issues continue to be able to rise. You know what I say? When I saw what happened in the mud and pigeon peas in Abaco, right, after Dorian, I sort of assessed it as the proverbial rug. You know, sometimes you sweep some things under the rug. You know, older persons just say kicking the can down the road. But, you know, sometimes you sweep some things under this proverbial rug and you keep it there. And nobody can see it. You sweep it up. And now Dorian kind of took the rug away entirely. And we were left with a pile of immigration issues that has been unresolved from almost the inception of our independence. And we did nothing about it. What we did is open our hearts and open our borders to the position that say, all right, well, you know, humanitarianism is at the forefront. Let them go into the Kendall Isaacs gym. Let them go here. Let them go there. And we have yet to be able to get the significant record to identify these people. To identify who's in our society, who's now integrated with children, with this, with that, going into our schools. And this has happened way back when there was an earthquake in 2010. And the former prime minister then, I think it was 180-some, that he let out of the detention center. Am I correct with that? Right? This is crazy. And every single, at every inflection, there has been just superficiality presented to the Bahamian people. And say, all right, you should be satisfied. Let's move on. The exact same thing with crime. And crime continues to expand and expand and expand in the country. And no one's rectifying these issues. You get more issues dealing with road traffic and police is on the road dealing with these particular issues as opposed to the community getting out and dealing with crime. How is it? Last night, I'm looking at my telephone and I could see someone lose their life in the middle of a party, in the middle of a gathering. What is going on in this country? Let's see if we can read a couple more texts before we get into it. You say, you're talking out your head, sir. Everyone doesn't start on the same level. If you ask me, UBP never should have given up the country easily. They were supposed to make us fight for our future. Now we in the future being led by goons who look like they from 1967 to 2003. This honorable leaders did nothing to change this country for the better, only put us in deeper death. And giving foreigners special rights. Tss, jokers. This is a text that actually came through. It's heavy. And I don't know. I mean, to say that, okay, the premise that I introduced as it relates to all of us starting at the same level was that collectively, we as the majority had started out with, though there were a few, and I got to be able to bring Obi Roberts on to have a conversation, because there is a relentless, perpetual conversation about the late Bradley Roberts, the late great Bradley Roberts' affiliation in the early, early heydays of the PLP, his affiliation with the UBP. So the idea is that it wasn't all of us who supported this idea to move towards independence. There were a few who attached themselves to the governing party or the ruling party at that particular time, which was the UBP. So I don't mean it from a political standpoint. I mean it from an ethnic standpoint. I mean it from a social standpoint in terms of our access to these particular things. And all of us collectively fighting for the independence from that perspective, right? Let me read it a couple more. It says, Howard, more time Brave have already been blamed for murdering the fellas that were... I don't understand this text, and I don't care to kind of unravel it. Let's go. It says, Howard, they should put a sign in the ocean saying, Little Haiti, then the immigrants would travel in the opposite direction. Let's take a telephone call. Call me on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Mr. Grant, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. How you doing?
Very good, sir. We had two homicides over this weekend, eh?
Two.
And we had one in Camp Road.
Yeah.
You know, you said something about some of our... And we both in the church. You're in the church and I'm in the church.
Amen.
Some of our pastors, really. You know, a young man was in my workplace and he called them. He said, there's too many chicken coop church in this country.
Mm-hmm. Too many what? Let me hear too many what?
Too many chicken coop churches.
Chicken
in this
coop
church.
Okay, I like this. Go ahead.
And too many bar rooms. And all we have is social destruction.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, I was like, and this is a well-structured young man.
Mm-hmm.
And he did his observation, because all the social disorder we have, you said something a moment ago, that you hardly hear any outcry from our local pastor.
Tell me, am I correct or incorrect?
You are correct.
Okay,
and I support you. And that young man who said that to me, I try not to get him to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, there's too many chicken coop churches and all day about economics. Let me say this. Now, Mr. Grant, I'm going to be very... We had two homicides.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a group, different groups in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The liberated-minded group. Some of our brothers and also our sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But more likely, I'm concerned about our sisters. Who is trying to force the government hand to implement immoral laws,
mm-hmm,
to get a perfect man or a perfect world? What am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
Our sisters seek to force the government hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen it more intensified than this particular administration that is in. But as the homicide continues, there is no outcry about our young man being slaughtered and being murdered on the street from mothers. But Mr. Grant,
this heavy what you're saying. Go ahead.
I am baffled,
mm-hmm,
that these sisters born these worthless, no-good, effeminate men. I am baffled by that. So it appeared to me like we have a King Herod spirit, or I call it a clown spirit, because it's Mr. No Name, let them kill out each other. And I am baffled by, because I remember when King Herod wanted to kill out all the boys, who tried to save them? Was it the mothers?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the mothers?
Mm-hmm.
I call upon our mothers. You're trying to force our government to make these in more laws. I'm a deliberated moment now.
every which way you, every time you order, every other day, you can talk about, oh, gender equality, marital rape, etc. Mm. Why is it that we can't have an outcry on these lousy, worthless boys that you born?
Jesus. Go on, let me
that try. You born, mm. and you're trying to run away from your responsibility and want government to fix this.
You
need to fix your home.
You're getting deep today. The first thing you tell me is that you're from the church.
I'm preaching now.
You're preaching.
You need to fix your home with these effeminate, worthless, boys you born.
This is a lopsided message. I got to get in there.
You know the home, the traditional family structure, you're trying to replace that. And you want to want government to do it. You want a perfect effeminate man to make your gopher.
Listen,
the Bible already states the principle, and that will never, ever change.
We got 8 minutes. I got to get to the next telephone call. You put a mouthful in the last couple of minutes. I appreciate it. I feel like it's a lopsided message. Because though we have principle and we understand what existed prior, there is a different element, different structure, and different pieces to this thing. Now, women, for the most part, single mothers, do not have the support of fathers to be able to help groom. I don't care what no one says to me. A mother can do all she can to ensure that she can provide security and feed the child and so forth and so on. But when it comes to being a man, when it comes to the examples of what it means to be a man, strong man, upstanding man, and doing what he's supposed to do, a young boy is supposed to do, being able to lead by the example, a man has to do that. Believe that. And we've seen that with shock treatment, and we've seen that with programs like what Dave Wallace them doing, and Keith Cox. We've seen that with so many programs, whether it's Carlos Reed in his particular capacity. We've seen that. We've continued to see that. That men need men to understand how to move forward as a man. You can't call it churn whatness. I don't agree with that. I don't believe the boys worthless. I believe they have not been given a chance to be able to hit the straight and narrow. They have not been given examples of how this should be done properly. I can't call the boys worthless because when I see the boy brains on the floor spilling out and he's there lifeless, I say, Jesus, God, look at the next prime minister. Look at doctors. Look at lawyers. Look at this. Look at that. Every one of us as men. While you call it slowing your royal oats, this whoredom that many of us pursue prior to being able to shake that off. Talk to me. You ain't going to talk now. This whoredom that many of us men pursue that we call sowing our royal oats prior to being able to now shake that off and say, let me get it married, is still sin. It still goes contrary to the foundation of principle. That means that all of us have sinned and fall short. I cannot reject the young man because he has no example of how to get back on course. Your daddy or uncle or somebody must have said to you, well, you know, you can mess around for a little while and then, you know, you get together. God will be right there for you. But you cannot reject the next generation of young men. You cannot. You cannot reject the next generation of young women. You cannot use this kind of language with such significant disdain that, listen, man, that too weighty on their shoulders. And so when you have this hopelessness, it's as a result of the words that you speak to them. The biggest lie that was ever told in the history of man is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will not harm me. That is a lie. That is a lie. Words will never leave you, would ring in your spirit even as you approach dementia. You remember these things. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's a principle. And when you say these things, I cannot control. Listen, my son is a young man. I got a young daughter. And they in the same bucket with all the young Bohemian children. They are here being influenced by these things. I cannot do it. So I hear half your message, but I had to walk out the church with my Baptist finger up on the last piece. Let's see if I can read a couple of these things before we get out of here. Howard, the FNM's criticizing the PRP on illegal immigration, and rightfully so. Just remember that Hubert Ingram sat in Abaco as a member of Parliament for over 30 years and watched the mud and pigeon peas grow exponentially and did nothing to stop it. See me read this, right? The whole Bahamas is in crisis. And brave blaming everyone they ma and they ma rather than doing what he was elected to do. In the first quarter of the year, I was supposed to have a massive road work, and all I see is small white trucks patching holes, and the government ain't working. Traveling and partying is the order of the day for them. This is some information coming through. We need to get a few more minutes before we can get out of here. Let me see if I can read a few more of these before you say, boy, these women could lie. The biggest lie is that the child is yours, and that lie was told for years. Well, you got DNA diagnostics that could fit that, right? But I don't figure you guys, if you're only at 450 for a laxative, talk to me. Not a laxative. What do you always call it? Prophylactic, right? If you ain't got $4.50 for that, I think you got the $450 for the next thing. So you can afford to say they lie. You're supposed to know better than this. Let's go. However, the fellow on the floor with his brains out. But what about the fellas that they have killed? I know about the streets, and I try hard to put my 50 cents in because the political parties have been a part of the killings from the FNM to the PLP. My God. You say, remember Papal Track? Listen, man. There is a massive issue that's happening in our country. And if we continue to be able to identify across political aisles and throw blame like a hot rock, you remember we used to play hot dust? If we can continue to be able to throw this blame from one side to another, is the FNM fault? Is the PLP fault? Is the FNM fault? Is the PLP fault? We will get nowhere. And all we do is superficially, through the pomp and pageantry that exists in this country from the foundation, all we do is celebrate the figurehead in these positions, but deep down within ourselves, expect no change. We will see no change in this country if the only thing that we can do as the people is identify the issue at the head. This is about internal recognition and assessment. We have to search ourselves to find out how we could contribute to a better society. If you can wait for your pastor to come out to make these sort of positions about the deaths that's happening in your community, you scared that this man with one gun and 9 bullets could kill all 8,000 of us. You scared about these things. Child, I don't want them to target me. You scared to stand up in our communities. I said, that's where your fear is. Your fear is that these little children who have no education, no aspirations, no ideas could be able to take us out. What about you who have dreams and understand the foundation of this country? What about the vision that was cast to your Grammy that you accepted and understood that could be paradise, not just over the bridge, but the entire country? What about that? Why have we allowed that to be diminished and taken over by political organizations that do not feed us? Stop it. It's time for us to fight and not fight stupidly and yell these sort of treasonous accusations and ideas against the prime minister of our country, but organizing ourselves to be the next dispensation of leader for true sense of growth in this country. It is time to put away this foolish game. When we were children, then we do childish things. But as men, we have the ability to move with passion and determination to a future that we envision. That's the show for today, guys. I thank you so much. 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation with Howard Grant. Guys, cross your fingers. I'm hoping that we can get Ruby Ann Cooper Darling tomorrow to be able to talk about the vision for the inner city and talk about whether or not we're on course to make those things happen. I thank you so very kindly for being able to do that and trying to chime in and contribute to the conversation today. I thank you. Have a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen. I see you tomorrow, God spare. Stick and stay for Shivagolang with Z Live right after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right. Order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50.
Fat inclusive.
On our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.